From Phoenix to Fredonia, Tucson to Tuba City, the Arizona Department of Transportation is connecting Arizona. Everyone, everywhere, every day. Now you're connected to On the Road with Adam.
You are. Well, good day and welcome to the podcast On the Road with ADOT. My name is Doug Nick from ADOT Communications. It's a real pleasure here to have you with our podcast. And we're going to talk about something today that may or may not be a surprise to you. When you think of ADOT, you might think of roads and freeways and so forth in the motor vehicle division. And right, you would be. But a big part of that is the environment. And we've got the guy here who can talk a little bit more about that with us, Josh Fife here from our Environmental Planning Division. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it very much.
So when it comes to the environment, people may not really understand why we really value stewardship of the environment. So tell us a little bit about what you do and your team over there in environmental planning. Why is this important?
Well, I'm the biology lead in our environmental planning section. And it's really important to our program here at ADOT for many reasons. I'd like to say the first is it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
When we're building roads, when we're maintaining our transportation system, things can be impactful to the environment. And there was a time in this country when we did this kind of stuff without really paying attention to much of this stuff. And now with rules and regulations, they're, you know, we really have to be focused and show that we care. And a lot of people really care about this stuff. And so it's really the right thing to do.
So in back in the day, well beyond our tenure here, probably before we were born even, or maybe you, the idea that a transportation agency would just look at a stretch of desert or forest or wherever and say, okay, well, there's a straight line between point A and point B. Let's just put in 6, 8, whatever lanes. We don't do it that way anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately, much of the interstate system in this country was built under that
that paradigm, that was just the way we did things
exactly.
Back then.
Yeah.
And it was about in the 70s we kind of saw the light, as it were.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
So tell us a little about what you do on a daily basis in terms of what you're looking at and what challenges you're facing, you and your team, as we look at, because everybody knows we've got a bunch of projects going on. Some are widening existing roadways and some are expanding and putting in lanes like between here and Sunset Point if you're driving a I-17. And then there are other things as well. What are you looking at in general?
Well, typically my team, we get involved very early on in the process. We get involved when a project is first initiated, when a project is first thought of. And what we do is we work with designers and project management group within ADOT and really narrow down what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they tell us how we're going to do it because as a biologist, we kind of like to stay in our lane and we don't really get into the engineering side much. So they tell us how.
You don't tell them about tell them how to do biology.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then at that point, then what we do is we take a look at what's out there. We take a look at the resources that are surrounding a typical highway alignment, and we look at what's out there, birds, what species of mammals, what species of reptiles, amphibians, everything, anything that lives in the natural environment. And we look at what species are protected. And mm-hmm. There are rules that are out there. And so we have to figure out what's there and then what applies. And then what we do is, as we work through the process, we develop mitigation and we develop measures in order to minimize our impacts. We work with project managers. We work with those engineers then mm-hmm. to figure out how can we do what we need to do in the least impactful way.
So if we were to, say, plan a road at some place, wherever in Arizona, and it was determined we can't go directly that route because we're going to really cause havoc for some endangered species, whether it's an animal or a plant or something along those lines, we may not actually stop the entire project and say, well, we can't do this, but you're going to find ways to deal with that appropriately.
That's correct. Yes.
And what are some of the common things that we do? I mean, let's just imagine with animals, we've got wildlife crossings that we do. We've got endangered species that are in riparian areas and so forth. Are there some common things that are typical that you deal with a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the most common things that are occurring on most of our projects are avoidance measures in seasonal restrictions.
So what does that mean exactly when you say avoidance and seasonal?
So what we can do is we can avoid certain aspects of construction during certain times of year.
Okay, so if you've got birds that nest or whatever during the springtime, you say, okay, we're going to do other things for this project that don't impact where there may be bird eggs or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. Some species can be insensitive to sound, and if so, we're going to be doing demolition activities, for example. We may not do demo during a certain time of season. And that's, you know, that occurs quite frequently on our projects.
Now, recently, we've talked a lot about the Pinto Creek project. It's familiar. We got some news coverage about that. Tell us a little bit about what happened there. We're not talking so much about animals. We're talking about what at the time, for those who don't know, the Pinto Creek Bridge is just near Globe in the middle of the state, more or less. It goes over, obviously, Pinto Creek. And we had an existing bridge that had been built in the late 40s. It was determined that it needed to be replaced. We had some things there that really required unusual intervention. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That project, I had the pleasure of being involved with from the start, and the Arizona hedgehog cactus, which is a federally listed cactus, it's listed as endangered, and it only grows in the central portion of Arizona in a very, very specific habitat that surrounds where this bridge is located on US 60.
I'm guessing several dozen square miles of habitat, if that?
It's a little more than that. Okay. I would probably say maybe, you know, several hundred, but it's still a small aspect.
In the grand scheme of the state, it's not much bigger than a pinprick or two.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And so this we knew this cactus grows there. We know it exists through our partnership with the Tano National Forest and forest biologists. We know that they were there. So what we decided to do was seek assistance through a team of consultants and myself. I was actually involved in it as well. We conducted surveys and we identified individuals, Arizona hedgehog cactus individuals, within the footprint of construction. And we knew that our project was going to impact these individuals. And so we developed a strategy of mitigation measures to help minimize the impacts.
And that involved actually getting the Desert Botanical Garden, partnering with those folks, and having a team go out there in 2018 and pull out a bunch of them. And then what did they do with them?
So that's probably the greatest part of this project is we were able to bring on world-renowned experts at Desert Botanical to help us. And they have extensive experience with succulents, and they were able to transplant these cactus, remove them from the ground, and bring them down to the valley and keep them in a controlled environment, in a controlled greenhouse environment. Mm-hmm. And actually, a few of the larger ones actually put in the ground.
Yeah, they're going to live there forever.
None of them will reside there forever.
Oh, okay.
They put a few of them in the ground to care for them.
Okay.
And then probably about a month ago now, we used the same team and we put them back out in the ground at the bridge site, very close to where they were extracted.
And because they were taken to the botanical garden and they were able to get seeds and propagate more, they actually put more back than were removed, correct?
Correct. One of the great things is when they did come out of the ground in 2018, that gave us several flowering seasons. So the plants actually flowered while they were at the botanical gardens, and they were able to collect seed. The experts there were able to collect seed. Some of the seed was put into a seed bank that exists, and they'll be there in perpetuity. If the species ever reaches a point where it's critical, we could grow new cactus from those seeds. Some of the seed was actually started that same first year in the greenhouse, and they were grown, and we were able to put more out than we actually took out.
And an unexpected benefit was during the monsoons of 2021, when there was tremendous rain there, and then unfortunately a devastating wildfire right up at that project site, we potentially could have lost some of the cacti that were there, but because we had rescued so many of them, we really did add more to protect the species.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, the fire which burned through the area was did impact many cactus. We don't know the exact numbers, but the ones in our footprint and our construction project were saved. And by having the seed and by putting more out after we're done, we're in the long term hopefully helping the species.
So real quickly, you know, if you're in the desert as we are here, and for the most of Arizonans, obviously there's other climate zones, but why do we care about this cactus? I mean, some people, you know, may not really appreciate that it's a cactus. Who really cares? Why is this important, though? It's a beautiful plant, but it does more than just show off.
Well, the thing what you have to kind of think about and the everyday person will say, there's cactus everywhere, Doug.
Right.
And that's true. There is. But when you think about it, this particular subspecies of hedgehog cactus has a very bright violet flower.
It's beautiful.
It's a red crimson type flower.
And if you go to our website at azdot.gov, you can see, if you just Google the search, or not Google, but do the search function on our AZDOT website, you will take, we'll take it all sorts of video and pictures. It really is quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the key thing here is, if this cactus becomes extinct, it doesn't exist anymore.
And this supports the ecosystem.
Absolutely, it does. All these plants have a purpose. All have a purpose.
It pollinates, it helps bees pollinate, and it doesn't just sustain this cactus, it sustains an entire group of flora and fauna in that area.
Correct, exactly, right.
So when we consider Arizona, to step away from the desert for just a moment here, we obviously have a very diverse ecology, a climate here in Arizona. You could think of Yuma and very sandy desert area, all the way up to the San Francisco Peaks and the White Mountains and so forth. What environmental challenges does this diversity, which is wonderful, but what challenges does that pose for us in your environmental stewardship?
Doug, it makes Arizona very unique. The biomes that are present in Arizona range, like you said, from desert. We have desert grasslands, chaparral, woodlands, forest, and then all the way, like you mentioned, San Francisco Peaks or tundra. Provides an interesting challenge for projects. We can have projects down in the Sonoran Desert in which flora and fauna are quite different from those up, say, by Flagstaff in the Ponderosa Pine Forest. And so we have to take a different approach at our analysis and how these species survive and how they interact and what our impacts would be. The desert, the Sonoran Desert, is some may see it as a hardy, rock-filled, you know, rough environment, but it's very quite fragile. It's quite fragile, and any impacts are lasting, and it does not recover quickly at all. And so we have to consider this when we're going to build a road. For example, we're going to build a new, let's just say a highway interchange. It takes a larger footprint than just that interchange to construct that, right?
So you need room for construction vehicles and things like that for a year or two or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. So all that area is impacted by our project. Mm-hmm. And so we have to consider that. And we have to consider, well, how long is this going to take to recover? What are some of the things we're going to do to help this recover?
And something even in the Metro Phoenix area, where people who may be Phoenix residents or Phoenix area residents, and they're experiencing the huge Broadway Curve improvement project that's going on, even though you think, well, that's purely in the city, we actually did some things there. We have, and people will sometimes see these if you go by a project. You might see a nursery, as it were, of cactus or plants that those plants were removed from an area that may be impacted. Why do we do that?
Well, Arizona does have native plant laws, and so as a state agency, we were bound to follow those. But it really is to help. ADOT has always had, for a long time, we've had a great leadership and great guidance when it comes to utilizing native plants within our landscapes. And so it's a very important part of what we do. And so our ability to harvest these plants, or I should say transplant them into a nursery setting in which they can be kind of nursed along and protected while a construction project is occurring, and then put back within the right-of-way, really helps everything. It helps, like you mentioned before, native bees, birds, pollinators that travel up and down our road corridors. It helps them have food. It helps for shelter. And it just, quite frankly, I'll make it simple, it looks great. You
know, it does.
In Arizona, why would we want to have grass along our side of our highways when...
I'm old enough to remember when that was the case on some highways. Yeah. And you think about all the water that gets used and the maintenance that goes with it. It is much better to have Palo Verde and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It really helps keep Arizona iconic. You know, if you look at some of our license plates, have the saguaro on them. You know, that's what you want to see. You know, as driving down our roads, you want to see those kind of plants.
And the saguaro is unique to Arizona and some parts of extreme northern Sonora in Mexico. Right. So it is unique to Arizona. And people have to know if hopefully they care about this, because it is a protected species. When we're building roads, we don't plow those things under. We do the right thing.
Correct. Yes. I think it's fair to mention, too, that unfortunately, not all the plants do ultimately survive, but we do our best. And we really do care, and we do try to keep the plants alive.
And when we can, as we did with Pinot Creek and those cacti, we can possibly even do more.
Make it better.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest challenge that we face in this regard these days?
Well, I think from our aspect in the environmental planning section, and I can only really truly speak for biology, but I think the biggest challenge is the speed at which things move these days. Projects come about very quickly. Expectations are that when funding becomes available to preserve our system or make our highway system better, which that's our mission, that's part of our mission, that it needs to be done in a timely manner. And when we get the funding to make an improvement, we're expected to deliver, and we're expected to do whatever we can as quickly as possible.
That's an interesting point, because with technological advancements and advancements in how you design and build, rather, it used to be that if you were going to build X freeway or X roadway, you would design it and spend time on the blueprints and so forth, and then you would begin to build it. Now we have a design build process where it kind of flows better. It's much more efficient, but that does pose a problem or a challenge anyway for you guys. It's interesting.
It does. It's something that we're still learning to adapt to. We're learning to develop our mitigation measures that are free enough to where we can get moving on a project, but still have the protections that are needed and required.
Yeah, the safeguards are in place so that we're even though we're rocking and rolling and we're maybe ahead of a schedule on something, if a real issue environmentally came up, that would definitely play into either slowing down or somehow mitigating.
Correct. And I'd also like to bring up another great point that we do also have. The design build or a project at risk type method of delivery, in which we will actually bring contractors on board early on, and then we can work with them on our minimization measures and actually get feedback, get input from a contractor on how they can possibly construct a project in the least impactful way. And that has been proven to be very helpful in our process and our ability to actually make design meaningful mitigation that's implementable in the field.
So what people may not realize is that ADOT doesn't really have construction crews per se. We have maintenance crews and so forth. But if you're seeing a new roadway being built, we typically put that out to bid for private contractors to come in with their employees and build or expand roadways. That's almost always the case. Our maintenance folks do great work, but it's mostly maintenance and repair. I hope the answer is yes, that we're finding buy-in from these contractors for what you do.
You know, that's one of the most interesting things is in from a biologist standpoint, is most of the contractors are interested and do care. They really do. When you explain to them what's out there and what could potentially be impacted by what they're doing, they're interested and they do want to help, as long as we can keep them moving. That's the thing is they, when they're moving, they're productive, they're making money, and they're getting their job done. And as long as we keep them moving, then things are
right. Because they have deadlines. I mean, they have contracts, absolutely. And if they don't make that's a problem for them, which is understandable. As we wrap up, one thing that you could tell the public that you would love for them to know about ADOT and the environment, if you could.
I think the biggest thing is that we do care about everything out there. and we do our best to keep Arizona natural as we can and keep preserve wildlife, preserve plants for the next generation. We really do.
And if people want to know more about environmental planning, they can go to azdot.gov. They can just do the search function on environmental planning. We have an entire website devoted to what you guys do. They can learn more about it. They can find out how to get a hold of folks in that division if they have a problem that they want to raise. So thank you, Josh Fife from ADOT Environmental Planning. We thank you for what you do. It's extremely important, and it's a great reminder that ADOT loves the environment, and we want to do our best to protect it. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for spending some time on the road with ADOT. To learn more about ADOT, visit our website at azdot.gov, where you can also connect with our links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Flickr, and YouTube. That's at azdot.gov. Goodbye for now, and thanks for being on the road with ADOT.